650, 1320 WILS. The Dow finishing above 22,000 today for the first time in history. Where do we go from here? And what is driving the market? How do we keep moving up? Let's talk to Leonard Raskin, a nationally known financial strategist and CEO of Raskin Global. It's RaskinGlobal.com. Leonard, great to have you on WILS.
Pleasure to be with you.
22,000. And Dave, what's your thought on what's happening? Why do we keep going up right now?
Well, right now we're going up, I think, for a number of reasons. There's a lot of great optimism about the market's future when we look at the promises of some tax relief. We've already seen some major movement on regulatory relief, and those two things together are going to simply unleash capitalism. And if you think it's strong here, you should take a look overseas. The overseas market are outperforming the U.S. market almost 4-1 in a lot of places, you know, averages around the world right now. So there's a lot of hope, a lot of promise, and a lot of people feeling like it's time to get in. It's kind of an amazing thing when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
The market, as in the stock market, measured by the Dow, the S&P, whatever it may be, kind of the only thing that, as citizens, that when the price goes up, we feel the inclination to buy more.
Now, tell me, Leonard, in terms of the Fed, how much could their activity and action derail this party?
Well, if they push too far too fast, people will pull back a little bit. But I think everybody's expecting maybe a December increase by the Fed. The fact of the matter is nobody knows. And if we look just at this quarter, you know, we've got a lot of great companies reporting great earnings, great profits, and people are excited. They think there's going to be great productivity, and as a result, the Fed, you know, maybe they should push rates up a little bit, but they've done that a couple times already, and we're seeing 30-year mortgages still hovering right around that 4% mark, you know, under 4, and they jumped over 4 a bit. They came back down a bit. So the Fed's influence is not what everybody thinks it is. It's a lot more technical than it is actual.
The Dow really is just a handful of stocks. Is this really reflective of what's happening in the larger market?
Well, it's not always, but it's certainly directionally reflective. And yeah, we're seeing the S&P go up. We're seeing the Russell 2000 small caps go up even more. Small caps are leading large caps. And as I said, the international companies are leading the U.S. companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think right now there's a good feel around the world for our Democrat friends. They wouldn't say that it's anything to do with Trump. Our Republican friends would say it's everything to do with Trump. I think somewhere in the middle is the truth. And the fact of the matter is that better tax policy and less regulation is going to unleash capitalism. And let's face it, everything we own, everything we have, everything we do is based on products and services that the billions of people around the world keep buying. And as long as we keep buying, they're going to keep making it. When they keep making it, there's going to need more jobs for people to produce it. Whatever it is, and the more jobs, the more money, the more buying, and
okay. That's
velocity of money at its best, and that drives the economy.
And President Trump today said that the Dow was at 18,000 only 6 months ago. So would this be a bubble, in a sense, even the last 6 months ago from 18,000 to 22,000 today?
Well, I'm in the camp that the market figures in information. All the knowable information is in the market. It's accurately priced. Professor Gene Fama won a Nobel Prize a couple years ago in economics for the philosophy that the price of the stock is the value of the company.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a reasonable philosophy to live by over the long run. Certainly, could it go down from here? Yeah. But the beauty is, for your listeners, they shouldn't be thinking about what the next 10% in the market is. They should be broadly diversified, U.S. and foreign. They should own a broad mix of stocks between large and small,
mm-hmm.
value and growth, and be prepared that if the market in one segment turns against you, that's the time to rebalance into the segment that's for you. Mm-hmm. Should have a long-term investment policy, 20 years, not 20 minutes. And as long as you stick to that, 22,000 came a lot faster than 21,000 came faster than 20,000, and let's face it, every next 1,000 points is a smaller and smaller percentage up the scale.
Okay, but so you're saying 20 years from now, you're confident we'll be better off than we are today?
I have great faith in America. I have great faith in capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom 20 years ago versus freedom today. Poverty 20 years ago versus poverty today. All around the world, you don't hear it listening to the mass media necessarily, but everywhere you look, all the signs, infant mortality, education all over the globe. It's happening at such a fast rate, and I would be willing to say 20 years from now, there is no doubt we will be better off than we are today.
Interesting. Well, the optimism is fantastic. When you hear, because there are certainly people on the other side who keep the drumbeat going of, look at the debt, you know, look at look what's coming, look at the baby boomers retiring, look at previous depressions and collapses. How do you figure that into your analysis?
Well, each of them separately. For example, starting with the last one, the past crashes, if you will, yeah, they happen. But amazingly enough, this market has always been, the markets around the world have been resilient enough to overcome those and reach new highs.
Mm-hmm.
On average, about 110 or so days before the market recaptures its losses over the last 50 years. So crashes are where emotional people lose wealth and logical people make a fortune.
Okay.
So it's a great thing if you hang on.
And what about our larger national debt issue and the concerns that we have the kind of looming problem ahead of us?
Well, I think absolutely we have to focus on and look at what's going on there. And I think one of the things that will help, I believe, dramatically to reduce the debt would be to get this country on sound footing from a standpoint of less spending and some great tax revenue coming into the government back in 86 in the Reagan Revolution. They lowered tax rates, and the government brought in more revenue than it ever had in the past. And right now, the government is bringing in more revenue than it ever has in the past. We're just spending faster than we can bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get some more people into the tax system to generate revenue to the government, generate income tax, and stop some of this spending, maybe we can pay some of that down, and that would be a beautiful thing. I think growth could do a whole lot towards making that happen. Again, if we've had under 2% growth for the last 8 years, we've averaged in the mid threes. So it's time to get this U.S. engine, you know, revved up and back to where it should be.
Yeah, have the last 6 months felt like just throw anything in and you're going to win? Is it that kind of an atmosphere right now?
Well, I don't look to stock pick and certainly don't try to guess which ones are the right ones, because goodness knows that's a lose-lose game. But if you own the market, and you've owned the market large and small, as I said, across categories in the last 6 months, you've been really happy. If you look at your 401k, your investment statements, you've done really well.
When it comes to valuations of stocks, where are we historically now? How does it look to you right now?
Well, the dividend yield is pretty good, and the price earnings is pretty good. And as I said before, I'm a Gene Fama follower. And price-wise, you have to believe the market's fairly priced, and only new and unknown information coming in is going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could have some crazy North Korea-Russia thing. We could have some crazy China action. Who knows what that could cause this to turn the other way, but right now, the optimism and supply and demand says people are buying stocks, people are selling stocks. Everybody thinks the pricing is fair, or else there wouldn't be a buyer for a seller.
Yeah. Now, when there is a crisis, let's say if something were to happen with North Korea, let's say it were to last weeks or even months, what would you be doing as an investor?
Well, as an investor, I'd have made sure that my long-term allocation strategy was set. So let's just make it simple. Let's assume I want to be 80% in equities and 20% in fixed income to hedge my risk, and that's my long-term allocation strategy. Then when that market decides it wants to turn the other way, my job would be to take some of that 20% and buy some of that that's down at the 80%. I can tell you for the last months, we've been actually moving clients out of stocks, not because we believe it's a bad place to be, but we've been taking the cream off the top and rebalancing into the fixed income to store up capital so that if that comes, we're ready to buy low. You know, this is the oldest adage in the world. You buy low, you sell high, and you just keep going.
Leonard Raskin, nationally known financial strategist and CEO of Raskin Global. It's RaskinGlobal.com right here on WILS.
Yes,
thank you, Leonard.
Great to be with you.
Yep, enjoy it. We're back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Good night.